Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and servant in Christ, Radio Reformer, am in studio to present another much-needed proposition. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call, and I doubt he's going to call. But we, as our practice, we give out the number in case they are tuned in. The number here is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730. It is our custom to give out the number to remind Mr. J. Delano Ellis, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, to remind him and his cohorts that they have an open invitation to debate us on any live broadcast. And so I will be repeatedly giving this number out and inviting Mr. J. Delano Ellis to come on and to talk. Let us reason together. Let us debate the issues. Let's do a little Greek. Let's do a little Hebrew. Let's do a little bit of Latin. Let's do a little bit of church history. Let's do some canon law. Let's go mano a mano, Mr. Ellis. Let's go mano a mano. Now, of course, what I present in these propositions is just a superficial presentation. I mean, I'm saving my best stuff for the public debate. If you think that this stuff that we're doing on radio is our best, no. This is sparring. This is just, you know, shadow boxing, if you will. Shadow boxing because J. Delano Ellis doesn't want to get into the ring. See, and when a boxer shadow boxes, he knows there's no opponent in front of him. So these 95 propositions that I will be presenting in total are just my way of shadow boxing, of keeping in shape, so that when the debate actually happens, and I'm hoping for a full-fledged open debate, then Mr. J. Delano Ellis and his band of Bishop Stooges will actually see what we have prepared for them as far as information and sacred rhetoric and, you know, the art of debating and so forth and so on. So, yes, my brothers and sisters, these are just appetizers. The number here is 646-564-9730. And I am well-versed in Roman Catholicism, so, I'm brushing up on my Anglicanism. So, Let's go mano a mano. Let's go mano a mano, Mr. Ellis. The number here is 646-564-9730. You know, if Baal be God, then worship him. But if Yahweh be God, then worship him. I represent Yahweh, and J. Delano Ellis represents Baal. That's what Rome pushes. Rome pushes the doctrine of Baal. That's what Rome pushes. So, let's talk, Mr. Ellis. Let's talk. Well, he doesn't want to talk. He's, one of the Marx brothers. I think it was Harpo. One of the Marx brothers was mute. He never talked. He had a horn. I think it's Harpo Marx. And he walked around, never said a word. And every time he wanted to communicate something, he'd use his hands and his horn. Well, that's J. Delano Ellis. He's the Harpo. He's the Harpo Marx of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Loves to talk when there's nobody to challenge him, but becomes a deaf mute when someone like myself is calling him out. Well. We're looking at this cluster of propositions in which I compare J. Delano Ellis to Cain. Cain, the first heretic, the first apostate, the first son of the devil, the first emissary of the evil one. Yes, I've been doing a series of teachings on how J. Delano Ellis, if he was to stand in front of the mirror of Scripture, how he and Cain look so much alike. And I'm not talking about skin color now. I'm talking how they look spiritually alike. How they look spiritually alike. And I started this cluster of propositions with proposition number 72. We went from 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 81, and now we're past 82. We've done 83, and now we're in 84, and we're still talking about, mind you, we started at proposition 72, talking about how much J. Delano Ellis looks like Cain, and now at proposition 84, we're still making the case, and for days to come, we're going to be making the case as to how J. Delano Ellis looks like Cain. For days to come, we're not done. But let me take the recent propositions and let me show you how J. Delano Ellis looks like Cain. In proposition number 82, it reads, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has established an apostate center of consecration. And this is based on Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son named Enoch. And he built the city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now, Enoch means consecration, initiation, dedication. All three words are synonymous. Enoch, the very name Enoch, means consecration. So in Proposition 82, I showed you how J. Delano Ellis, in all of these elevation services, in all these services in which he is installing or making these bishop elects and transforming them into bishops, how he calls this consecration. Well, to consecrate something means to set it apart. But then you need a qualifier. You need to know who are you setting it apart for. Well, just like Cain, J. Delano Ellis did not consecrate anything for God. It doesn't say in verse 17 of Genesis 4 that Cain consecrated his child to the Lord or the city to the Lord. No, he consecrated it to self. The city of Enoch is a city that Cain consecrated to self. It's a monument devoted to self. There's no God in this. Just like the Joint College of African American Bishops has no God in it. It is a monument. It is an apostate center that consecrates people who are into self. They're into the gospel of self. Self. Again, nothing to do with God and everything to do with self. Then we saw in proposition number 83, and it reads like this, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has established an apostate initiation center. And we saw yesterday how there is a passage to this club. There's a rite of passage. There's an initiation, and it has to do with kissing the Episcopal ring. When you are made a bishop by J. Delano Ellis, he makes you a bishop according to Rome. He makes you a bishop according to the Harlot Church. He dresses you in the Harlot Church's colors. That's what he dresses you in the Harlot Church's colors. He does. And in so dressing you in the Harlot Church's colors, he puts you on the Harlot Church's team. And then in order to seal the deal and in order to prove that you are one with the Harlot Church, you are asked to kiss people's rings. And you are to have people kiss your ring. That's the initiation, and that's the broadcast we did yesterday. For Enoch, not only means consecration, but it also means initiation. Today I want to show you through proposition number 84 how, like Cain, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has established an apostate dedication center. So we looked at Consecration, we looked at initiation. Today is dedication. When you dedicate something, and let me go to the Oxford Dictionary again. Let's look at the word to dedicate. The Oxford Dictionary says to dedicate is to devote something. To devote something by holding an official ceremony. To mark the fact that something has been built to honor a particular deity, saint, etc. Again. To dedicate something is to devote it. To devote it. To devote it to a particular deity, to devote it to a particular task, to devote it to a particular activity or purpose. Like when Hannah, in fulfilling her vow, took Samuel to Eli and said, I'm loaning him to the Lord. I'm devoting him to God. I am dedicating him to the service of God. That's what the word dedication means. To dedicate, to devote something for a particular purpose. And you do this dedicating, as we see in baby dedications. Everybody in the black church, one time or another, has seen a baby dedication. We dedicate babies. Now, when I talk about dedicating babies, I'm really talking about dedicating babies. We dedicate infants. But you will see that J. Delano Ellis, dedicates 60-year-old infants. And I'm going to get to that shortly. You see, J. Delano Ellis takes these individuals who want to be bishops so bad, they want to be part of the club so bad, they want to be in the in club so desperately that they actually sign on the dotted line and sell their souls to the devil and then seal the deal by kissing Satan's fanny. That's what they do. These people, these 60 and 50-year-olds who get into the bishop club are mental midgets. I don't care how many degrees they have. I don't care how polished they may sound. I don't care how many letters they have in front or behind their names. These people who join the Joint College of African American Bishops are mental midgets. They are spiritual infantiles being dedicated to destruction. Because everything that Cain dedicated in that city, he named Enoch, and even his son, which means dedication, even that boy was dedicated for doom, for destruction. Because anything apart, separated from God, and not dedicated to God, shall be destroyed. So to dedicate, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is to devote something to a particular task, an activity, a purpose. And this is done by holding an official ceremony that marks the occasion, that marks either the dedicating of a person or the dedicating of a building and the dedicating of this person and this building to a particular deity or saint. As we see in the Roman Catholic Church, there are all kinds of religious orders, and all of these religious orders, you have nuns and priests following a particular saint. They don't follow Jesus, they're following a saint. Well, the people who are following in the Joint College of African American Bishops, they're not following Jesus. They're following Saint J. Delano Ellis. That's their patron saint. That's their cane, if you will. Oh, I can't wait to debate this man. I can't wait to embarrass him in public before tens of thousands. This would be a wonderful pay-per-view. Think about it. Yours truly, Mr. Nobody, Mr. Radio Reformer. Mr. Radio Reformer, nobody. Taking on J. Delano Ellis. That's like Rocky taking on Apollo Creed. Rocky had no chance. Adrian! That's like Rocky taking on Apollo Creed. The problem is that Apollo Creed isn't Apollo Creed. This guy's no Apollo Creed. He's an Apollo creep. He's an Apollo creep! leading people headlong into destruction. Well, according to the Oxford Thesaurus, to dedicate something is to devote it, to commit it, to pledge it, to surrender it, to sacrifice it, to set it aside, to allocate it, and to consign it. Again, when you dedicate something, you're devoting it to something. You're committing it, you're pledging it, you're giving it, you're surrendering it, you're sacrificing it, you're setting it aside, you're allocating it, you're consigning it. Well, this describes what Hannah did with little Samuel. Well, please note in verse number 17 of Genesis chapter 4, and Mr. Ellis, the number here is 646, because we would like to hear from Apollo Creep. The number here, Mr. Ellis, is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730. We would like to hear from you, sir. According to Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, and Cain, whom J. Delano Ellis mirrors, knew his wife, and she conceived, and she bared him a literal son. That son he named Enoch. Enoch means consecration, initiation, dedication. And she conceived and bared Enoch. And he built the city. He built the dwelling place. Now, he was supposed to be a fugitive and a vagabond, but he, again, rebelled against the Lord and decided to build something. He decided to build something, and he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. In other words, he called the city consecration, initiation, dedication. In other words, all of the apostates, all of those who wouldn't walk with God and do things God's way, could come and join Cain and be consecrated, be initiated, and be dedicated to evil. Because you only have light and darkness. That's it. You have light and darkness. You have good and evil. You have God and Satan. That's it. You have the sons of light and the sons of darkness. That's what you have. You have angels and you have demons. That's what you got. You have sheep and goat. You have wheat and tare. That's what you got, folks. You have a virgin church, or you have a harlot church, who's been rolling in the hay and rolling in the mud with everything coming her way. That's what you have. The harlot church is dressed in purple and in scarlet, and the bride of Christ is dressed in white. We know that the harlot church is dressed in purple and in scarlet because she's revealed to us. We get a snapshot of her in Revelation 17. But we also get a snapshot of the virgin church, the bride of Christ, and she's dressed in white. So, my brothers and sisters, let me show you. This is J. Delano Ellis. And I got audio today. Got lots of audio. So let's listen, because now he's going to start that part of the ceremony. See, this is an initiation ceremony, this is a consecration ceremony, and this is a dedication ceremony, where now this person who he is consecrating and initiating and now dedicating, they're being dedicated to join and to serve and to be devoted to and to pledge allegiance to the Joint College of African American Bishops, which is a satellite ministry, which is an arm, an octopus arm of the Roman Catholic Church. So here is J. Delano Ellis, and he's going to start the lengthy process. And when all is said and done, I want you to hear how he now becomes this person's father in episcopacy. Please make note of that. He says, "I am your father in episcopacy." Well, notice he wants to be a father just like Cain. And like Cain, who dedicated his son Enoch and the city that he built, and he dedicated it. So now J. Delano Ellis is dedicating people to Ramesh Episcopacy. Here is J. Delano Ellis. Now, again, this is tough audio to listen to, and if you don't like it, listen, there's a Fair Act clause that we can use audio for the purpose of instructing. We can use audio for the purpose of teaching. And I've been calling you out, sir. The number here is 646-564-9730. I've been giving you ample opportunity over and over again in each broadcast to call in and to let's talk. In fact, I'm willing to debate you. I'm willing. Let's do a mega debate. TD Jakes has a mega fest. We can have a mega debate. We can debate all of these propositions, sir. I would be willing to put my life on hold and devote myself to tackling each one of these propositions. Or maybe you might have some propositions, and I would tackle those. I would show how asinine your teachings are, because they're not based on the Word. And you're not going to defeat the Word of God. Not with your code of canon law, you're not. You're not going to defeat the Word of God. So, here's audio, and this is the lengthy process of putting the vestments. It's called the part of the ceremony which is called investiture, in which they have the person that they're dedicating to episcopacy, and that person is standing there, and they're putting these garments on them. So let's listen. But the part that I want you to focus on, the part that I want to underscore and highlight for proposition number 84, is that J. Delano Ellis is dedicating this bishop as one would dedicate a child. And this person is a child. Spiritually speaking, this person is not a bishop, not a biblical bishop, they're not. Because you have to be a child to allow someone, you know, children, you know, you take a little infant that's 3 months old, 4 months old, even a year old, an infant that's being dedicated, when that child is going to church that day, because the two parents say, we're dedicating you today. That child doesn't have a say, and when the child is placed into the preacher's arms and the preacher dedicates, the child may be fussing, the child may be crying, but the preacher goes on with the dedicate. Why? Because they will impose their will on the child. Well, this person is a child. To be hearing this foolishness, to be hearing this nonsense, and to just stand there and accept all of this gibberish, all of this doctrines of demons, to accept it and then allow someone to dress you like a child. I remember how I had to dress my little children. I had to dress my babies. My 2 and 3 year olds, they couldn't dress themselves. I had to dress them for church. My wife and I would, she would grab two, I'd grab one, and we start dressing them, getting them ready to go to the house of the Lord. Now, when they got older, they're teenagers now. I don't have to dress them. I just said, we're leaving in 15 minutes. Hurry up. And they dress themselves. But this person here is a child. I think this person is 60 years old, going towards 70, if I'm not mistaken. This person could be 60 going on 70 and standing there like a child. That's why you know this is a baby dedication. This is the dedication of a mental midget. And this happens every time. This person is not the only mental midget. There are other mental midgets. Every time they consecrate one of these bishops, that bishop is a mental midget. That bishop is just like Cain's son Enoch, an infant. May not be infant in age, but infant in spirituality, infant in mind, infant when it comes to theology, apologetics, polemics, infants. And they must be crying now as they're listening to this. They must be crying. They must be beside themselves. They must be on the floor having a tantrum. J. Delano Ellis must be the first one. I mean, he's, what is he, 90? What is this guy? How old is he? How old is this guy? He must be having a tantrum as he's listening to this because he can't call in. He knows if he calls in, I'll smack him around. He's beside himself. wanting to call in, wanting to say, stop, stop, stop. But he can't. Here he is in all of his Cainish glory, dedicating a new bishop. Listen to all of this foolishness and all of this nonsense. Listen to this. This is about glorifying self, because that's what Cain was into. Cain was into self. He wanted God to accept him. He wanted God to do things his way. He was into self, a selfish person. Isn't that what Paul said in the last days? Men shall be lovers of self. Self, self, self. Lovers of self. Lovers of self. Here's the audio. And the key part is that he says, now you are my daughter in episcopacy. Because this is a dedication service, in case you didn't know. Now it's going to be lengthy, and you're going to hear all the nonsense, all of the garments, and I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to resist touching the audio and making comments. I'm just going to let it roll until he comes to the part when he's talking about the coat of arms. When you start hearing about the coat of arms, when you start hearing that foolishness, when he starts talking about how he's given her his coat of arms and how she will have her own coat of arms, when you start hearing that, then you know that the main phrase that I want you to hear is coming up.
And help her to dress, Bishop McCullough.
Now, why does an adult person need help in getting dressed? Again, because this is a baby dedication. This is a baby bishop being brought into the... forgive me, I said I wasn't going to interrupt. I'm sorry. But you see, let's help her get dressed. Let's help her get... Now, why do you have to address... Why do you have to dress a person that is 60 years old? Why? You know, when my church ordained me, way back, I think it was 1983, I would have to look at my ordination certificate. But in 1983, when I was ordained, well, I can't look at my ordination. That was taken from me. I would have to look at the back of the picture to see what date that, you know, back in the 80s when you took your film to a photo studio and you got the film back, there was a date on the back. You would have the day, the month, and the year. I would have to go back to those pictures and look at the day. But I think it was 1983 when I was ordained to the gospel ministry in 1983. Well, when I came to church that day, nobody dressed me. I came dressed. I'm an adult. They were ordaining an adult. But now we're dressing babies. You just heard him say, let's dress her. Okay.
She's wearing first the Roman purple cassock spattered with blood. That's the significance of the color.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Glory. But the robe is really a slave's garment. We call it cassock. It's a slave's garment. It's a slave. She's a servant.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Not a problem.
The white garment that was put on her is the priestly garment. It is the garment. You're going to have to do better than that. You're going to have to stand over there or somewhere up there.
My Lord.
This garment, the white garment, is for celebrating the sacraments of our redemption. The red coat that only bishops should wear is the prophet's coat. It is a symbol of inheriting the prophetic office, the principal preacher of Rapha. the soul she's receiving will have coat of arms on it. She'll get another one from the joint college, but she has her own coat of arms. This seal says, the Sigillum Episcopus Jacqueline E. McCullough, and then this year, MMXV, meaning 2015 AD. Sigillum Episcopus, meaning the seal of Bishop Jacqueline McCullough. She has the shepherd's staff, the dove with the olive branch, the word of God uppermost on her crest, and the cross of Christ's crucifixion. To the right of her crest is my coat of arms as her chief consecrator.
Now, remember in Proposition 82, we talked about how he was the chief consecrator. And remember that Enoch means consecration, initiation, dedication. Now, you just heard him again say, I am her chief consecrator, because he's following the code of Roman Catholic canon law, where no consecration of a bishop is legitimate unless you have one chief consecrator and two you need three consecrators minimum, a chief and two co. And you just heard him say, she has my coat of arms as her chief consecrator. In other words, they're intertwined. He and her are in bed together, and he's in bed with Rome. So if he and her are in bed together and he's in bed with Rome, she's in bed with Rome.
XV, meaning 2015 AD. Sigillum Episcopus, meaning the seal of Bishop Jacqueline McCullough. She has the shepherd's staff, the dove with the olive branch, the word of God uppermost on her crest, and the cross of Christ's crucifixion. To the right of her crest is my coat of arms as her chief consecrator. And so, in a strange way, my sister, who is the daughter of McKinley.
Now, what did he say? My sister, who is the daughter of McKinley. Now, who is he referring to? Well, if you go to chapter 1 of his book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church, I'll tell you who McKinley is. In chapter 1, starting in page 17, chapter 1, which is entitled In the Beginning, the Need, he says, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbur Sterling McKinley, that's one of the co-founders, he's dead. He's dead. He's long gone. So that's who he is referring to. So let's listen again now.
Bishop Jacqueline McCullough. She has the shepherd's staff, the dove with the olive branch, the word of God uppermost on her crest, and the cross of Christ's crucifixion. To the right of her crest is my coat of arms as her chief consecrator. And so, in a strange way.
Notice he says, in a strange way. Oh, yeah, very strange. In a strange way.
My sister, who is the daughter of McKinley.
Who is McKinley? One of the co-founders of the Joint College of African American Bishops, who never lived to see this woman, his spiritual daughter, be elevated to bishop,
has also become my daughter in episcopacy. And I don't give my...
Now, How can somebody's daughter be somebody else's daughter? I mean, how can two men have the same daughter? Well, she is his daughter in Episcopacy, and so today this is a dedication. See, McKinley dedicated her supposedly for the ministry. Now, J. Delano Ellis is dedicating her for Episcopacy. And what is Episcopacy? Well, it's just being part of this elite club. That's all it is. It's just you're part of this elite club where now you sit up there like a god and people come and worship you. Listen, she's his daughter now. He's Cain, and he just dedicated her. He just, because again, Enoch, you see, Cain uses the word Enoch to speak to what? To speak of consecration, which we covered. He just said he was a chief consecrator of initiation, and you're going to be reminded of what initiation is because now he's going to have people come and kiss her ring. That's initiation. But you just heard where he is. She is his daughter in Episcopacy. This is a dedication service where he's dedicating her to this apostate group with this apostate agenda to condition the African-American church to receive the Antichrist. Here's more. Here comes initiation after dedication.
Go to arms to everybody. I got two people I gave them to. I asked for them back, but they won't give them back to me. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ.
Now, you hear that hypocrisy? God forbid. God forbid. This guy talks out of both sides of his mouth. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Now watch him say, watch him encourage people to kiss her ring. Well, if you're glorying in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ, why are you glorying in this woman? Why are you bowing before her and kissing her ring? You are glorying in her. Because Paul says, if we're going to glory, let us glory in the Lord.
Cross made of precious gold. It's not pretty. It's symbolic. Her chain is worn in her left breast pocket, in a suit, on a vestment. It's worn exposed. But it's not something to be just admired. The chain means she's a prisoner. Your sentence is life. You can never get out.
It's like the mafia. It's like the mafia. I mean, who talks like that? The mafia talks like that. La Cosa Nostra. You can't get out of the mafia. You can't get out of the Masons. If you're a Jesuit, you can't get out. You can't get out. They won't let you out. You've been initiated. You know too many secrets. You know too many mysteries. You've been consecrated. You've been devoted. You've been dedicated to the works of darkness.
Hallelujah.
Her ring, a symbol of government and collegiality with her fellow bishop. She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority. And we respect her. Truthfully, you don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Get it on. You get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Teach bishop.
No, it's not teach bishop. It's teach Cain. Cain is teaching now how to depart from the Lord. That's what he's teaching. That's what he's teaching. Paul said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another, and it's not kissing rings, and it's not bowing before people. Kiss them as we do every week with a holy kiss. It's a sign of affection among the brotherhood of saints. Nobody's bowing before anybody and kissing anybody's ring. That is idol worship, as I showed yesterday. Don't need to rehash that. If you missed that broadcast, go to it. It deals with initiation. It deals with kissing Satan's fanny. And how you have to kiss everybody else's fanny up the line. That's how you're initiated. That's your rite of passage. You want to be part of the club? You've got to do this thing publicly. And you got to be let it done to you publicly. You've got to do it publicly, and you got to let others do it to you. In public, not behind closed doors. In other words, you must come out of the closet. You must show people that you're really in with Rome. You're in bed with Rome. That's what Rome does. And Rome wants to know that the Joint College of African American Bishops and its leader, J. Delano Ellis, are committed to doing it Rome's way. And if Rome does it that way, you've got to do it that way, or else you're not part of the club. Or else you can't be our junior varsity team. Here's more.
You don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. You get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Teach bishop.
I didn't know that.
Did you hear that stooge? Did you hear that jackass? Did you hear that moron hee-hawing, teach bishop? That's a jackass right there. I mean, that is a jackass. Teach, bishop. What are you teaching? You're teaching doctrines of demons, you jackass.
Grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Get it on. You get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Teach bishop.
I didn't know that. Just read up. How you bishop? Put your hand down and just speak. And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug her and squeeze her and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop. Bishops that will, in a minute, you can come and salute her and go back to your seat.
In other words, now since she's an initiate, the other bishops must now come up who've had their rings kissed at their ceremony. Now they must come up and kiss her ring the same way Cain kissed her ring. It's a rite of passage. It's an initiation. But as you can see, this candidate, this person being dressed, is a baby because you dress babies. This person who's being led around by the nose is a baby because they're just standing there and allowing things to be done to her. things which you cannot find in the Bible. This is a pagan ritual. All of this is pagan. Pagan to the core. And this person who is undergoing this ceremony, this initiation, this consecration, this dedication, to baby dedication for a baby bishop. Because now she's his daughter in episcopacy. And that's why he's dedicating her. That's his daughter. He is her chief consecrator. Let's move along. Because now, he visits her church a year later. He visits her church. And let's listen to her welcome him to her church. Let's listen to this. This is mind-boggling. This just lets you know that this person speaking, this bishop, this so-called bishop, is a baby, a theological baby. Coming up, saints.
And someone who has so much to impart. I feel very humbled. It's been a year. Last year this time.
See, it's been a year since the consecration, initiation, and dedication to the bishop. It's been a year.
And someone who has so much to impart. I feel very humbled. It's been a year. Last year this time. All know the story. I was threatened into it.
How does someone get threatened into it? This is a 60-year-old woman, almost 70. How does somebody threaten you to become a bit? Are you kidding me? I've been threatened to shut up. I've been threatened to shut my mouth. I've been threatened not to do these propositions. I've been threatened not to do these broadcasts. But I've never been threatened to join a club. No. Don't come with that stupid talk. Nobody threatened you. You coveted. You lusted after this. You lusted elevation. Here, let me read to you. Let me read to you. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and I'm not reading this because she's a woman. I'm reading it because there's a certain word here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. You see, the focus here is that the woman lusted. Eve lusted after the fruit. She lusted. When she looked and she saw the beauty and what it purported to offer, she went after it. What did she go after? Look, the same language is used in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, it says in verse 2, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were what? Fair. So the sons of God, the godly line of Set, took one look at the daughters of Cain, and they lusted after their beauty. And so they what? They married. It says, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives. They just like Eve took of the fruit. Well, this woman lusted. What did she lust after? Episcopacy. See, she lusted after episcopacy. She lusted after power. She lusted for being part of that club. She wasn't a... What kind of stupid talk is that? Here's a 60-year-old woman, almost going to be 70, and she was threatened? She was threatened? How do you get threatened? Tell me. I mean, I know that they threaten people on Sunday mornings when they read Malachi chapter 3 and they tell people you're going to be cursed with a curse. I know they threaten them that way. But how was she threatened to join the joint college? Don't give me that baloney. Don't give me that nonsense. You lusted. And what did you lust after? This is what she lusted after. This is what she lusted after. What Jay Delano Ellis gives. Listen to this. And he gives four things. He gives four things.
We are past the rules. We got that down pat. Excuse the pat. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings.
You see, what does she lust after? The vestments. She lusted after the plumes. She lusted after the chains. She lusted after the rings. She wanted to be part of that club. People around her, her supposed ministerial colleagues, were joining this club like it was going out of style. They're joining this club. She did not want to remain behind. She saw others getting elevated. And so she lusted like the sons of God lusted after the daughters of men, after the daughters of Cain. She lusted the same way Eve looked at the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and she says, I want it. I want to be like God. I want elevation. I want to know more than what I know now. I want sacred mysteries. I want those secrets. I want to be part of that secret society. I want to know what goes on behind closed doors. I want to be part of the godhood. And it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and see, this tree met several needs. First of all, it looks good for food. It'll satisfy my flesh, but also it's pleasant to the eye. And a tree to be desired, to make one wise. See, it offered a number of things. That's why they join. They join for the vestments, they join for the plumes, they join for the chains, they join for the ring, because they look around them and other people have got it and they need to have it, because like everybody else, they, like all little babies, they succumb to peer pressure, and so they buy into the lie, and they let themselves be dedicated to destruction. Yeah, Jay Delano Ellis has got something. He's got vestments. He's got plumes. He's got peacock feathers for those who like to strut. He's got chains and rings which speak of collegiality and membership. But it's the same thing that Satan offered Jesus. Notice, Satan took Jesus where? To a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said to Jesus, if you worship me, if you kiss my fanny, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus said, you shall only worship the Lord thy God. It is written. But you see, now she gives the, I was forced into this. Nobody forced you. You were chasing it. You were chasing it. You lusted after it. And now you're part of the heart of church. And now I encourage you to come out, because Jay Delano's not coming out. I mean, I keep telling him to come out, but he won't come out. He's too deep into this thing. Here she is again.
Know the story.
What story? Nobody knows the story. We know the story that you're spinning. That's the story. But nobody knows the story. The real story is, as we know the pattern in Scripture, people lust after things. They lust after things. Like David lusted after Bathsheba and secured her. We're all guilty at one time or another of lusting after things, and we chase it down. Samson lusted after a Philistine woman in Judges chapter 13, and he told his father and his mother, go get that woman for me. She pleases my eyes. We all know, we know the real story. The real story is you lusted. You were not accosted. You were not forced.
You all know the story. I was threatened into it. Amen. But I'm so glad I obeyed. I feel that this father in the gospel, this
father in the gospel, see, he's Cain. Cain gets to dedicate Enoch. Cain gets to do with, and that's why he named him Enoch. Enoch means what, folks? Again, what does Enoch mean? It means consecration, which I already showed how he consecrates people in Proposition 82. Enoch also means initiation. I showed you the rite of passage. I showed you what was the initiation rite. And now dedication, how he dedicated her. And he said, she's my daughter in episcopacy, and now she returns the favor by saying, he's my father in the gospel. What gospel? Not the gospel of Christ. Certainly not the gospel of Christ.
I was threatened into it. Amen. But I'm so glad I obeyed. I feel that this father in the gospel, this leader, this man of God who has been chosen to speak into the lives of others, that we are just so blessed to have him to take time out of his busy schedule to come and talk to us. Some of us are founding pastors. Some of us are just people who just love the Lord. But wherever you are this morning, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the voice of his messenger. Hear ye the heart of a laborer. Put your hands together for Archbishop Jesse Ellis. Yes, I think you should. Reverend Trish is going to read your bio. I didn't. I just spoke from my heart. I know what I was saying. But we're going to do it, Bishop.
You got to read his bio. I mean, come on. You got to read the guy's bio. Why? Because he's into self. See, they got to read the Bible. No. It's an unpardonable sin not to read the man's Bible. The man wants to glow in he wants to bask in the hollowness of his earthly achievements. Of course, you have to read Cain's bio.
The bishop.
Well. Enough. We proved the proposition. And whether you read his bio or you don't read his bio, everybody knows who he is by now because he mirrors Cain. He's a Cain. Well, my brothers and sisters, that does it for today's proposition. I can go on and on and on, but I know you got things to do. I've got many things to do. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Sister Marie will be in studio to present her weekly fantastic broadcast called the End Time News Report, so you don't want to miss that. I'll be back on Wednesday with Proposition number 85 as I continue to show how J. Delano Ellis once again mirrors Cain. That'll do it for today, saints. Love you in Jesus. Love you in the Lord. Be blessed, stay encouraged, and continue to contend for the faith.